Welcome to another Paul Hastings podcast. We're joined today by our intellectual property partners, Naveen Modi and Joseph Pallas, to discuss the Federal Circuit's recent ruling in In re Cuso, the court's first decision on the merits involving an inter partes review, or an IPR proceeding, before the Patent Trial and Appeal Board. Naveen is the global vice chair of our intellectual property group and head of our firm's patent office practice. He and Joe have represented a diverse set of clients in numerous post-grant proceedings before the board. Naveen, can you tell us a little bit about the case and the significance of this decision?
Sure. This is an important decision as it addresses issues that arise in pretty much every IPR proceeding, namely, what is the standard for claim construction and what is appealable? It is also important because it applies the Supreme Court's recent Teva decision when analyzing claim construction.
Thanks, Naveen. Joe, Naveen mentioned a few issues that are discussed in this decision. Can you please elaborate on the claim construction aspect?
Yeah, sure. The Federal Circuit noted in its decision that while the American Invents Act, the AIA, created the right for the Patent Office to conduct IPRs and the rulemaking authority under the statute, the AIA did not, however, provide the standard that the Patent Office should use in construing claim terms. Interestingly, the court highlighted that for more than 100 years, the Patent Office has applied the broadest reasonable interpretation standard in various PTO proceedings, and this can include things like initial examination and post-grant proceedings such as re-exam and the like, and that the court has repeatedly approved applying the standard. Thus, the court concluded that because Congress is well aware of the Patent Office's practice in applying the broadest reasonable interpretation standard, and it failed to address that issue in the AIA, it can be inferred that Congress impliedly adopted the existing rule. So, therefore, for now, I think we can expect that the PTAB will continue to apply this standard when construing claim terms during inter-parties review and post-grant review.
Thanks, Joe. Naveen, you mentioned that the decision also addresses what is reviewable. Can you tell us more about that issue?
Yes. The Federal Circuit opined on the appealability of the PTO's decision to grant a petition for an inter partes review. In this case, Cuazzo argued that the PTO incorrectly granted Garmin's request for inter partes review of two claims. In a previous case, the Federal Circuit had held that the America Invents Act precludes interlocutory review of the board's decision to institute an inter partes review. In this case, based on the plain language of the statute, the court reasoned that the statute also precludes review after a final determination. But the court noted that in certain situations, mandamus may be available to review the board's decision to institute an IPR after the board's final decision.
Thanks, Naveen. Joe, I understand that the Federal Circuit also addressed obviousness in Cuso's attempt to amend the claims. Can you please address those issues?
With respect to obviousness, the Federal Circuit reviewed the board's claim construction and agreed with the construction and also its determination that the claims as construed were obvious. The court also agreed that the board's denial of Cuso's motion to amend, finding that the board correctly found that the substitute claim that Cuso had put forward impermissibly expanded the scope that was originally claimed in contravention of the statute.
Thank you. Naveen, anything else you would like to add?
I would like to make two other points. First, the Federal Circuit applied the Supreme Court's recent decision, the Teva decision, when it analyzed claim construction. Relying on Teva, the court noted that it reviews underlying factual determinations concerning extrinsic evidence for substantial evidence and the ultimate construction of the claim de novo. Because there was not an issue as to extrinsic evidence here, it reviewed the claim construction de novo. The last point I would like to make is that Judge Newman dissented. She disagreed with the majority's holding on claim construction regarding the standard to apply. She also disagreed with the majority's holding that a decision to institute is not reviewable, noting that the majority's ruling impedes full judicial review of the board's final decision. She also disagreed with other aspects of the decision. Given her dissent, we're likely to see a petition for en banc review.
Thank you, Naveen and Joe. For more information about this case and to learn more about Paul Hastings' patent office practice, please visit us at www.paulhastings.com.